We got our next guest on the line, and we're going to say good morning to you there in beautiful Alaska.
Yes, it's beautiful today. It is morning as well.
Do you get really long days there? How does it work, and shorter days in the winter? I mean, obviously, most of us do, but what's the setup there?
Well, David, right now, you know, it's not actually getting totally dark at night, even though it's only, you know, April 20th. Yeah. I'd say that you can maybe around 1 or 2 in the morning, you can't read a book outside, but it gets bright. It's bright now. It's 7 o'clock. It's bright, bright, bright.
Yeah. Do you have like blackout curtains in the summertime and so on?
Yeah. Yep. We sleep in the basement. I'm usually able to sleep in the light. It doesn't bother me, you know. But sometimes, it's nice to have some blackout curtains to make it dark.
Well, the book's called The Adventurous Son, a memoir. And I mean, because of time, but let's just go back to the early days, shall we? Did you bring up your son to be kind of this Grizzly Adams type who liked to be out in the forest and in the nature and experiencing the real world?
Yep. I raised him because I enjoyed the outdoors and the wilderness of Alaska and elsewhere in the world. And I wanted to include him, in the experience with me. And I think it made us closer that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and he had this love for going out and being out there in nature and being in the wild. For time purposes, let's get to what actually happens. He goes off and decides to do some exploring of his own. Tell us more about that.
Sure. He had been going to graduate school. He took a break from college, from his thesis work, and he left for Latin America. And, you know, I met him in Mexico in January, and then he worked his way overland south from Mexico, through Guatemala, doing a long wilderness trip there, and through Honduras, doing a long river trip there. Yeah. And then he made it to Costa Rica, and he along the way, he would email me and tell me what he was up to.
And is that part of it? Because you know that he does this, and your lifestyle as well of being out there. Is that kind of part of the whole thing that he'll be okay? You know, he's a tough guy. He'll get out there. He'll be fine.
Yeah, you know, I of course, he's my son, so I was always concerned, and I liked hearing from him. At one point, he told me about this long walk he was going to do across northern Guatemala, you know, a couple hundred kilometers in 10 days. And I didn't want him to go. I told him not to go. I emailed him. I said, don't go. But I couldn't actually send that email. And in the end, I encouraged him to have a good time on the trip, but to be careful about snakes.
Yeah. Wow. And is that kind of the battle that's within you as well going on there, as far as, you know, protecting your children? Because we all have this, everybody, maybe not on the level that you're having as far as the wild's concerned, but there'll be people listening today saying, I don't want to let my 15-year-old girl go out on her own, or that, you know, and that's obviously slightly different, but we all have that battle, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we sure do. I mean, you want to protect them, but if you protect them too much, then they never grow and they never become independent, and they don't become really functioning humans, do they? So, but on the other hand, you know, you do worry. I mean, our children are the most priceless things we have.
Have you got any other children at all?
I do. I have a daughter also. She's 32.
Was she outdoorsy as well and wanted to be out in the wild?
Nope. she said she was the only normal one in the family, and she was didn't really want to have much to do with it. Of course, you know, we've gone out and done things, but she, you know, it's hard for me to get her to go for like a walk in the park these days. I mean,
I think a lot of us with lockdown, we've decided to go and I've just discovered a river near where I live, which I never knew was even there, that we walk down now, and we go out and get out there in nature, which I think is always good for us. Let's just go back. I think a couple of weeks go by and you don't hear from him. And was that kind of usual that you wouldn't hear from him for quite a while, and maybe you'd go 3 or 4 days with not hearing from him?
Sure. Yeah. Usually about 2 weeks. One problem was that I had been gone on my own adventure, and I came home and it had been a couple of weeks, I was expecting to hear from him, and I didn't hear from him. And I dug into my emails, and there was an old email kind of threaded together, like a new email threaded with an old one. And I didn't realize that he was headed out, and he was telling me where he was going. Yeah. And then when he would be back, and he was overdue. And my heart broke when I read that.
Wow. And of course, you know, all kinds of things go through your head as to what has happened to him. And, you know, he can, like you said, like we were saying, he can handle himself. He can get out of sticky situations. I'm sure he's had to do that before. So to cut a long story short, and again, we're only skimming the surface here, dear listener. The book's available on our website, tre.radio. We're talking to Roman Dial, and The Adventurous Son is the title of the book, a memoir. It's available on there. You'll get a lot more than what you're going to get in this interview, but just, you eventually go looking for him. And, is that the point when National Geographic start to follow you on that? At what point? Cause I saw a little bit of a documentary that you did.
Sure. Yeah. No, what happened is I went down there looking for him, and I thought I was going to find him. I thought he was hurt in the jungle and that I would be able to pull him out and bring him home.
Yeah.
But I wasn't. And I was there for 6 weeks, and then I would go back and I would look through the jungle. I had to battle the bureaucracy of Costa Rica because they wouldn't let me in to their national park. And I eventually responded to the television producer who wanted to help, and he could help in ways that I wouldn't, yes, that I needed. Like I thought he'd be able to get park permits so that we could go into the national park, but he was unable to get national park permits. And I was also concerned that maybe something had happened, some foul play. Maybe my son had been kidnapped or murdered, but I didn't know how to do any kind of a criminal investigation. Yeah. And so they hired somebody to help with that. And then that became a whole nother drama.
Yeah, probably won't have time to go into that, but you did actually meet some guys who at one point you think these might have been the last people that saw him alive. What was going on?
They were miners, illegal miners who worked in the jungle in the park, and they took me to the place, and I looked, I searched, but I didn't find anything. And then there was this crazy guy who said that he'd seen my son and that my son had hiked with him. But my son had taken to hiking on his own or with other adventurers and never would hire a guide. And so it didn't make sense to me, but this criminal investigator was sure that this crazy guy had actually killed my son. And wow. So the book is sort of about looking for him and finding out the truth of what happened.
His bag turns up as well, doesn't it, with his passport in. Is that right? Remember that right? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, his passport and his pack. Yeah. There were pieces of evidence all along the way of what happened.
And eventually, how long does it take for you to get from not knowing and, you know, he's missing to knowing the answer to what happened?
About a year and a half, almost 2 years. But I have to say if I hadn't found out what had happened, I'd still be looking for him. And it's 6-7 years later now.
Yeah. And so we don't want to give, well, we will, I think we're okay to say, aren't we, that we find out it's an accident. It's a tree that's fallen on him. It's a freak accident, isn't it? Basically.
It seems like a freak accident. Yeah. I mean, but trees fall remarkably often. I mean, there's a saying, maybe it's in British English too, of a widowmaker, and a widowmaker is a tree that falls on somebody. And we just don't realize how often trees fall in the forest anymore because we don't live in the woods much. You know, we all live in town.
Yeah.
But this particular area was known for a place by the locals as a place that was dangerous for winds. And even while we were there and looking, we witnessed huge trees fall down, and one almost hit a tent in my camp.
Oh, wow.
One night.
So the locals there would probably know that kind of experience, wouldn't they? And Roman, there must have been mixed emotions going on at this point, to the point where you at least get an answer. And, you know, we know that he didn't die in a violent way, you know, at the hands of somebody else. So there must have been relief there, but also there's this finality to it, that this is the end of the journey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're as parents, we're not really meant to lose our children before we go. And but it was, you know, I had to wrestle with a lot of guilt myself about what role I played, since I had introduced him to the outdoors and to wilderness adventure into the tropics at a young age. And I still wrestle with whether, you know, with the guilt that I have about what happened to him.
And that's a difficult one, because the thing is, you can't, like we said earlier, you can't put them in cotton wool and say, you know, you can't go out and do things. And we want them to be able to go out and live the things that they're passionate about as well. At the end of the day, I mean, looking at what is your daughter as an example, just because you're into something doesn't mean your children are going to get into it. And it was his passion eventually.
It was.
I've got a 5-year-old boy called George, and he's into climbing up trees and stuff. And I've got a 9-year-old daughter called Melissa, and obviously it's every parent's worst nightmare. And so I'm asking this as sensitively as I can. How do you live life now?
Right. Well, I have, you know, my wife, and I have my daughter, and I, you know, I have a puppy, and I have my friends and my interests, and
yeah,
and it is difficult, you know, it's extremely difficult, but life has to go on. I mean, there's other people, and I push that grief aside so I can go on with life. You know, I don't stop thinking about him. I think about him every day.
I mean, there's a times when you kind of, you're getting on and enjoying your life, and is there that kind of thing? Well, I should be feeling bad again because I've lost my son. Is that, I've heard people say that before. I've got a friend who sadly passed away at a very young age, and I've heard his mum say, you know, we kind of went on holiday, we started to enjoy ourselves, and then something would remind us, should we really be enjoying our life? That kind of guilt trip.
Yeah. I don't have that guilt trip about, you know, feeling, you know, because I still can feel joy. Oh, yeah. Although I'll tell you one thing that is odd is I can't listen to music. You know, like I can't, you know, my son really liked music, and we shared music a lot. And and he introduced me to Radiohead, for example.
Oh, wow.
And I introduced him to The Who. And so
I played The Who earlier, actually. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Wow.
Substitute.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I can't listen to music. And if I hear songs that I know that he likes, it's very upsetting to me. So there are some things I just can't do.
Yeah. I have to get into a completely different genre, like opera or something, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe.
Really, thank you for coming on, and great that we got hold of you eventually. And the book, we really haven't done it justice, I'll say, Roman, here. There's so much more in there, isn't there, that we could be chatting about. Are you still out there in the wild today? Are you still a thrill seeker when it comes to getting out there and...
Well, I'm not a thrill seeker, David. I'm 60 years old now. My testosterone is all dried up.
That's still young.
But I do go to the outdoors. I'll be going to the Brooks Range, the northernmost mountains in Alaska, this summer. And I have a research project. I've been going up there every summer. In fact, I still go out into the outdoors. I find it to be a healing and spiritual place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on being so candid. The book's available now, The Adventurous Son, a memoir by Roman Dial. Thank you for sharing your story, Roman. Really appreciate it. And stay safe and take care.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, David.
Thanks for being on.